This is an Alien UFO Podcast Extra episode, and I'm your host Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomena. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, historic cases and other related events. And please check out my other podcast, it's called The Past Lives Podcast, and there are over 200 episodes. On The Past Lives Podcast, I look into evidence of the afterlife, such as near-death experiences, children with past life memories, mediumship, deathbed visions and other phenomena. And if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And in this episode, I'm talking to Tyler Transu about the documentary Conscious Contact. Tyler produces documentaries with Chris Rupert at Dockside Media. Other documentaries they have produced include The Ghosts of Gettysburg, Secrets of the Sasquatch, and coming soon, In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community and UFOs. Conscious Contact is released on April 19th, 2022. Hi, Tyler. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hey, Simon. Thanks so much for having me on, man. Excited to be here.
So I wanted to talk to you about your documentary. It's called Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure. So how did it all come together?
Thanks for asking. Also, for the listeners out there, it is available April 19th. Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, and it will be on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Microsoft Movies, and Vimeo. So, Simon, regarding your question about how this documentary came together, man, it feels like almost like it was destiny or fate. My filmmaking partner, Chris Rupert, and myself, he came to me like in August. We've been friends for years and worked on some different commercial projects, music videos, short films, that kind of stuff together, but no documentaries. And here in the beginning of August 2021, he was like, hey, man, you want to start making some documentaries? I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So. And we had decided we were going to make them on like interesting content. We wanted to focus kind of on paranormal stuff. And the initial doc was going to be about the Seven Gates of Hell, which is a local urban legend near where I live in Pennsylvania. The legend happened in Hellam Township, Pennsylvania. And I guess as the story goes, there's these seven gates that appear on this property at night. If you walk through all seven, after the seventh one, you're instantly transported to hell. So I was like, oh, dude, that sounds like a very interesting, story. Love to interview like the people that own the property. And we can go out there, do it ourselves, see what we find, see what we experience. And as I was prepping that to get interviews lined up, I stumbled upon Anjali's story, who is a former Department of Defense intelligence officer. and I noticed here in the middle of August that on Reddit, she was saying in Twitter that she was going to give a public press conference in front of the Lincoln Memorial, which is in the capital of the United States here in Washington, D.C., and she was going to disclose and talk about these extraterrestrials that she met with in a base in a mountain in the Mojave Desert. So I'm like, oh, and she's forming like a team to go on an expedition there and record data and provide it to the public. So I stumbled upon that. I hit up my buddy Chris. I'm like, bro, this takes a lot of heart and courage, man, to go say something like this publicly in that place specifically. What do you think if we pivot and do, I'll go film that because I think people are going to want to see it and we'll figure out what to do with the footage afterwards and how we want to create the doc. And from there, I noticed on Twitter that Sue Walker, who is tweeting under the handle at Sandia Wisdom, and I had started to look into her. One, she's telepathic, and or has been telepathically communicating with the Ponte extraterrestrials in a mountain, the Sandia Mountains, in near where she lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I noticed that her Twitter account had basically, I think, tweeted something confirming that they had asked the Ponte, and the Ponte confirmed that there were extraterrestrials in a base in the Mojave Desert, as Anjali had said. So just kind of pulled that thread. She, Sue Walker is an amazing woman, went and got her interview. She led me to Clifford Mahoudi, who, for anybody listening, if you're into the show Ancient Aliens, Clifford's appeared on there. He is, or was rather, he passed away here a couple months ago, but a Zuni Pueblo elder. So we're talking, you know, this man has had stuff passed down from him from like grandfather to grandfather, thousands of years, right? And he is just a very interesting and driven individual himself, as far as everything he's achieved in his life as an engineer, and just going around giving these talks on extraterrestrials and Sasquatch and the experience that he's had and the teachings he's been that he's been exposed to. And man, yeah. So I know I'm rambling here, but it was one thing after the other. If Chris and I had sat down and said, hey, man, you want to make a documentary about aliens and UFOs, and we would have tried to script it out, we wouldn't have got anything like what we got, which we feel is this genuine, interesting, entertaining, thought-provoking documentary film about these people who have had experience with extraterrestrials and can communicate with them. And we think, man, we hope that we just help generate more public discussion of aliens and UFOs, because I think the more people that are looking at it and talking about it, I think it's going to help bring us some clearer answers here down the road.
I've watched the documentary and it's fascinating. And some of the things that they say just seems so crazy, and you and your filmmaking partner seem so kind of level-headed. Did stuff come up and you think, oh man, can we put this in? This is crazy.
Right on. So the filmmaking Chris partner who he was responsible for the final edit. I shot all the footage, I cut all the trailers, and then he's the one that weaved it all together into that beautiful story and documentary. And man, so I'm much more open-minded, and I'm much more, not that Chris isn't, but man, I was just raised to be respectful, right? So like, I understand that, hey man, if I walked in your shoes and had the experiences that you had, I would probably think a lot like you, right? And act a lot like you and have the same opinions and beliefs. So I just try and be respectful of everybody's experience. Man, I can tell you, everyone that I sat down with, like, it was an absolute joy. They were all great people, super genuine, super hospitable. And it was just a lot of fun. So yeah, as the crazy stuff came up, you know, I would, again, me being open-minded, I downloaded and read through the Telepathy 101 primer, which Sue Walker put together as dictated to her by the Ponte extraterrestrials. So if anybody wants to get on officialfirstcontact.com, I think go under the download section and you can find this Telepathy 101 primer. And it's a super easy read. I forget if it's like 240 or 260 pages, but really, like, each page, I forget when this thing was printed, but it's like an old school meme. It's like, or like a slide, like a PowerPoint slide. It's like a picture with like a couple words. So you can digest everything really quickly. So it might only take 10, 15 minutes to get through. And so to make a long story short, I went through that. I tried some forms of telepathy myself. And yeah, just had some really far out, interesting, perhaps coincidental experiences. One with like this extraterrestrial or alien like appearing what seemed to be, I had my eyes closed, but they seemed to be like 5 feet in front of me, which was like really unique for me because as a filmmaker, I'm fortunate. I have the ability to like picture in my mind's eye, like more or less like up above me, like a scene, say, and like, okay, this is how it should look with a person here. And this is the foreground, the background, and this is how everything's composed. So I have no problem like creating those images in my head, but they're always like I said, above me per se. And this was really crazy experience where this extraterrestrial that came into my vision or sight was like almost appeared like 5 feet physically in front of me. And it was weird because afterwards I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've seen a lot of alien movies, you know, different pop culture, that kind of stuff. Like, man, where would my mind have pulled this image from? And I could not, like, it was a very unique image of our extraterrestrial. It's something I've never seen or pictured before. So it was far out.
It's fascinating. What I do, I don't know if you know, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I take people through regression and past life regression, you know, like reincarnation. This is how these images come to us. If we're going into a life that's 200 or 300 years ago, those images come up in our imagination. It's like those images are given to us from somewhere else. So if you are practicing telepathy in some way, there may have been something out there that gave you that image. Did you feel like it was just you that was making up? Is your subconscious? Or did, you know, there was any kind of communication or any kind of thoughts or ideas or sentences that came to you?
No thoughts or sentences, anything like that. Like I said, I know I felt shocked. I was just because, yeah, mental imagery, it's never appeared like it's fought like physically in front of me. It's always been like, yeah, up in my mind's eye. So I don't know. I can't explain it. And so I wouldn't discount it. I think, you know, I would be open to the possibility that, right, that interdimensional being, that extraterrestrial, was making contact with me. In a second attempt at the telepathy, I was sitting under a tree and I had these like water droplets. I felt like water droplets falling on my arms. And so like, you know, I'm continuing with the telepathy and trying to go in with like an open mind and be polite, say who I am and the principles that you're supposed to follow as outlined in the telepathy 101 primer. But yeah, I couldn't help but like feel these water droplets fall on me. At one point I crack my eye open and I confirm, oh, okay. Yeah, there is like, yeah, there's a droplet of water. There's a droplet of water. I'm like, that's weird. I was like, all right, well, let me just like finish this up. There was no communication of any sort, no alien imagery there. But I was just like, oh, this is kind of weird. Let me finish this up and I will walk over to the pool and I'll look down in the pool and confirm, hey, there's like water droplets falling into the water. Because I'm under this tree. If it was raining, you know, it was just, I just remember these thoughts going through my head. And sure enough, man, when I like finish, open up my eyes, walk over. Yeah, there was like there was no rain anyway. You know, it hadn't been raining at all. So I don't know. Maybe it was like, maybe the tree was, I don't know, was aspirating or not aspirating, but whatever the trees do, where like they're, you know, somehow releasing water droplets. But it was certainly just really, really unique. And it's crazy, dude. I wish Chris was on here with you being the clinical hypnotist. Like Chris, he's spoken on numerous podcasts here, how he's much skeptical to these types of things as far as aliens, UFOs, ghosts, Sasquatch, and the like.
And so were you a UFO nerd before making this, or is a whole ton of this information really new to you?
So I'm just a curious guy, like in general, and I just dig into and I'm fascinated by everything. And I try and get as many different viewpoints as I can to be well-rounded, because I understand that the world is a diverse place. So with this documentary, let me see. I feel like I've never been like super into UFOs or aliens. I've always been of the belief that, man, the universe is a huge, huge place. And wow, the human race, man, we've gone in my 36 years, like I've gone from playing Pong to like PlayStation 5 and PlayStation VR, right? And that massive leap in what's, you know, the technology. So I've always been like, oh man, I think it's entirely possible that if another intelligent life form evolved 100 to 1,000 years before us, that, yeah, they most definitely would have probably better technology, or maybe it has a lot to do with consciousness and those types of things.
And you've made the other documentaries, which are not all about UFOs. I think you got one on Bigfoot, haven't you?
So, yeah, man, we also have the documentary The Ghost of Gettysburg, which is coming out April 26th on those same streaming platforms with Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and Microsoft Movies. And again, that one, man, we just felt compelled to make it. Like, it's been a beautiful journey making these paranormal documentaries, getting these experiences. I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And so Gettysburg, which in the UK, you guys wouldn't probably be like terribly familiar with it per se, but for the American Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg was like just this big battle, and tens of thousands of people died, wounded, missing. And so, yeah, we just felt compelled to make a documentary about the ghosts of Gettysburg. And same deal, that one just manifested itself. I think I made some social media posts. We had a camp out at the Haunted Trails of Gettysburg, right? Where it was like a former field hospital. And yeah, there's like an unmarked grave there, and a lot of paranormal experiences there. And so we had a bunch of people camp out there with like a medium, and we had a seance around the fire. And oh, dude, it was sick. And it's like, I just have so much fun. We got on the battlefield. We took some reenactors out there. So we shot some really sweet B-roll for that. That looks, yeah, it looks great. And then, yeah, we're finishing editing Secrets of the Sasquatch, which I'm guessing will probably be released like maybe early June. We'll have it done here in like 2 weeks. But then, so yeah, man, I'm fascinated with all this stuff. And I think it's great to get people talking about it. The world and the universe is a big place. So the Secrets of the Sasquatch, dude, I had a blast, man. We had like two different campouts out like in the middle of nowhere, right? And it's just, what a thrill setting up like Sasquatch, like traps and whatnot to try and lure them in. And even just the fact of like filming this footage at night, where like I'm out there filming and, you know, I've got two other people and they've got like an IR camera, and, dude, it was just sick. I'm like, guys, here's what's up. I got to go hop out in the woods. Just being a filmmaker, I'm like, I need to go get out in those woods. I need you guys to take your flashlight, pan it over this way as you're walking, you know, and because I just know in my head, hey, we're going to need that shot. It'll look great in this documentary to help chronicle these people walking, you know, going out searching for Sasquatch. And bro, I like out there, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from them in the dark, just the hairs on the back of my neck standing up like, bro, something could just snatch me up and I'd be gone, man. But like, I don't know. That's just part of that thrill, part of that adventure. And I hope the passion and the energy comes through in our documentaries. I feel like one of the things that we try and do a really good job of is not using a ton of like stock footage. Like, this is all footage we shot and filmed ourselves. I think we do a great job of getting the people we're interviewing like in a good mindset, because in my opinion, you know, I found it's like not always so much like what is said, it's like how it's said and how it's delivered. So man, I love this. Yeah, this has just been a beautiful process creating all these docs. And bro, I'll even riddle you one more. We've got In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community, and UFOs coming out as well. We shot, we filmed retired CIA officer John Ramirez, who's awesome. He's been speaking here in the past few months, doing different interviews, talking about the potential for hybrids, right? That aliens are some sort of hybrids. Humans are like some sort of alien hybrid that maybe we share DNA with them. We also interviewed Jesse Peake, who's a MUFON field investigator here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We got author and Roswell expert Tom Carey, who's written, I think, 12 books now about Roswell. Just interviewed him. He had some crazy stuff. And then yesterday, we just filmed Eric Mintel of Bucks County Paranormal Investigations. And so he's super knowledgeable, and it's insane the people that he's spoken to in some of like the high profile abduction cases and that type of thing, different UFO sightings. So it was a pleasure sitting down with him. And so we've got like one more interview probably to log, and then we'll interweave that all together for In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community, and UFOs. And that should be out, you know, probably early midsummer as well.
And did you see a UFO yourself? Was there something about you were using night vision goggles and you picked something up?
So when I was interviewing Reverend John Polk for Conscious Contact Full Disclosure, we had some night vision goggles. There were different objects going across the sky. I did not see any erratic movement per se. John Polk, the one I missed and didn't get on film, there was like one that did make a 90 degree turn. There was one that actually arced a little. Yeah, that did change direction a little bit. Again, I'm open-minded. Maybe some of this stuff could be satellites. I know speaking with Reverend Polk, I mean, he was of the belief, just talking about, what is it called? Well, basically the orbit that the satellites travel typically are like geosynchronicity or somehow they're like, you know, locked with the same orbit as the Earth, right? Because if they're going against the grain of the spin of the Earth, then you're going to have to use some sort of power, right, to get it to go that way. And so, yeah, there were ones going at different angles. I know for, bro, a Secrets of the Sasquatch, one of those campouts, or how was that? No, somebody bailed on a Secrets of the Sasquatch camp out. I'm just adventurous. I'm like, yo, the heck with it. I'm going to go out in these woods by myself. And one super scary experience, but I survived, right? So that gives me hope. Like, hey, if any crazy shit goes down, I'll be all right. I can survive off the grid. But so as I get out there in the dark, go to set my tent up, I did see some interesting light, man, that was going from like right to left. And I was like, oh, wow, that is, man, that's interesting. I can't remember if it covered like 15 degrees, 20 degrees, like my field of vision, but like I could track it across the sky. I'm like, oh, dude, that's wild. Setting the tent up. Like I look up again and it's like, it stopped and it started like descending, but it was like, I don't know. Like it was weird. It would like zip down like a degree or two, stop, pause, zip down another degree or two, stop, pause. And it did that like, I don't know, 6-7 times. And as I'm like fumbling to get my phone out, cause I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, it then like went out of sight or down below the tree line and I couldn't see, but, so certainly I've had some, I did have like an interesting sighting there that couldn't be explained. I know on a separate Secrets of the Sasquatch campout, you know, I understand that sometimes things can be explained because, bro, I saw Starlink satellites, right, go cruising across the sky. And had I not seen a video online previously showing what that looked like, dog, me and the other two people with me, we all would have thought, well, shit, dude, this must be an alien invasion, right? Because you're looking at this thing and it's like, you know, I see it pop up, like come up above the tree line. And I'm like, what? Dude, it looks like a giant roller coaster. And it's like, you know, the lights are spaced out, not all completely, like not all evenly, But wherever the, however the spacing goes, they all maintain that same distance from the one in front of it. So it's like this caterpillar roller coaster looking thing. And it's covering like, let me see, what? Like, yeah, like 15, 20 degrees of sky, whatever. You're like, what? I don't know anything man-made that can go cover that much sky. And then as it goes above us and, you know, away to like the other horizon, you know, because I'm trying to think if this happened at like six or something in the evening, maybe it was like 45 minutes after sunset. So like, you know, just the way the world works is like when the sun is back behind the earth, like it was at a position where the shadow it cast into the sky, like it looked like these lights just disappeared into thin air because they didn't go all the way down to the horizon. But like, you know, the scientific reason for it is because, oh, they go into the earth's shadow and they're no longer reflecting the sunlight going past the earth. But if you didn't know these things, you would definitely think you just saw something appear out of nowhere and disappear into the middle, you know, of space, like 30 degrees up in the horizon or something. So yeah, wild. I don't know where I'm going, but that was crazy.
Yeah, well, it's good you've got that discernment, and you're not, you know, there are some people, I think they believe just too quickly and too easily, and they think, yeah, it's definitely a UFO, when they haven't really studied it and thought about what they're seeing. So you had Sue Walker and Anjali, is that how you say it, Anjali?
Yep, I think Anjali or Anjali, yeah, Anjali, I think.
They both said some really far out things. They're not just talking about sightings and what have you. With Sue Walker talking about voice in the mountain, and she even said something about hospital ships lining up outside Neptune's orbit. But with the people you had on, did they say things that contradicted each other, or would you say they said things that, even though they don't know each other, verified each other?
Yeah, I wish Chris was on here as well, because he always shares in these podcasts about what he found super interesting was that, yeah, like he did not go out and film all these people. He didn't speak to all these people, and he is just not as curious and interested in UFOs and aliens as I am, right? And so he's like, dude, this was nuts that these people who are not related to each other at all are saying a lot of the same things, like this download, right, of information that into their consciousness, and Sue's talking about it, and Anjali's talking about it. I think it's pretty wild. Yeah, just some of the things that Clifford Mahudi said, just in hindsight, like knowing that, like, he passed, you know, a little after that. And then just some of the things like we're seeing happen in the world right now on a global scale. Yeah. It makes you wonder. And so, yeah, we did not find, really anything that was contradictory, between, everybody's experiences. If your audience is familiar with like the Lou Elizondo, Chris Mellon, you know, these types of people, Jim Semivan. And it's interesting that these government officials who were running ATIP or had access to write different types of data, that the momentum and the push that they've been making in this whole disclosure process and for more transparency. I just find it really, really fascinating that the US government, you know, it is, I believe, I hope, that they're going to start to study this in a serious manner. And I'm hoping that the scientific community will do that as well, with things like the James Webb telescope that was launched here, you know, right at Christmas, and like the Galileo project with Avi Loeb. And what's interesting there too, is you've got Avi Loeb, this scientist, this Harvard scientist or doctor, and he's, like, the people that he brought onto the Galileo project are like Lou Elizondo, I think Nick Pope, Chris Mellon. Like, he's brought, so it's interesting to me that all of these former intelligence officers, man, are somehow helping coordinate the narrative around this process of opening people's minds to the possibility of we're not alone.
When you met Sue Walker and Anjali, they seem just like normal people to you. They didn't seem like they'd be faking it, hoaxing this stuff.
No, absolutely not. It blows my mind because I think you brought up earlier, yes, some of the stuff these people are saying is pretty crazy. And so it just fascinates me how nice and genuine and down to earth these people are and just the lives that they've lived working for the Department of Defense, right, in the U.S. government. Anjali, I think she had run for some political office in South Dakota, like in the 2000s. Sue Walker, she was, you know, helped three-letter agencies with like missing persons cases and unsolved mysteries and try, you know. So I find it fascinating that these people that have led these very wild lives or some of the things they've done, like they're just super, super normal, down to earth people. There's just no crazy vibes.
And so Anjali talked about going back to this mountain. She said there was an alien base in a mountain and she'd gone through a tunnel. And I think she knows where the tunnel entrance is and she wants to go back there with more people. Has she gone back? Did you know if there's a date to go back?
She has not gone back yet. I think where that stands, because here's the deal, man, we had this all filmed and edited and completed in November, but it took that long for us to get picked up, man. We basically manifested distribution through 1091 Pictures. I'm like, bro, we need to get this out here. This is the company that has these other popular UFO documentaries on Netflix, on Hulu. So if that's where we're trying to get, that's who we need to get in with. And man, I don't know if it was just enough of throwing that into the universe and thinking positively enough about it, but I'll be damned, dude, if we didn't land them to distribute this film and more. There has been no expedition yet. I believe there's been some controversy recently between the property owners, the Wayne and Trisha that Anjali had spoken to, or that's the property that the entrance to the extraterrestrial base is on, and her. So if your listeners want to look into that, there has been no expedition yet. I do know that for a fact. Whether or not that's still going to take place, I'm not sure. I'm hopeful that it is. I've been tweeting and trying to get on that expedition since she said it. So, but right now it's on pause.
So I was going to say that could make a great documentary if you could go on that expedition. Even if it was a failure and nothing happened, it'd still be a fascinating story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so with Sue Walker, she was talking about ETs in her bedroom and having a rash on her calf. And did she have any kind of physical evidence that she could show you?
She did not. And I believe that experience had happened earlier on in her life. I mean, I'm talking not earlier, like early, but I forget if it was 2013 or something like that. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. So no, there was no, I don't believe she's still having that to this day. I don't want to misspeak. I need to double check. But yeah, no, I did not see any physical evidence like that. I can tell you, dude, the other thing, and this is kind of crazy, again, could be like completely coincidental. But so after I interview her, she's like, hey, would you be okay, you know, if the Pontee visited you? She said, we found that the people who like openly state that they're okay with it, the Pontee tend to show up. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, no, I'm totally comfortable with that. I'm like, well, what about your son? I'm like, yep, no, he'd be fine with it. Well, bro, don't you know I get back from filming her and within a couple days, my son's medication starts disappearing like 3 days in a row. And it's medication. He has like a rare genetic disease called cystic fibrosis. And so it's like a very, very new medication. So I don't know if Sue, when I'd spoken to her later, she said, oh, you know, with it being some sort of new type of medicine, maybe they were interested in looking into it or exploring it more. Then there was like this other instance where, and here's the thing too, I wouldn't automatically just say, yep, it was definitely the Ponte. What was it? After the third time the medication disappeared, somehow events unfolded where I heard something at night, got out of bed and saw my son was like sleepwalking in the hallway, which like he hadn't done before. But so after that event, I did take the medication and put it in a different spot and higher up. I mean, it would have been hard for him to reach it previously, but I guess, you know, it would have been maybe potentially possible. And so after I moved it, it did not, no pills disappeared anymore. So maybe it was something like him sleepwalking and eating them. I don't know. That would have been really weird though. And then same deal, this other thing. We were getting ready to do one of his like physical therapy things, and we couldn't find his inhaler, and we're like looking all over for it in the living room. It's like, dude, it was just here. I end up reaching down in the recliner to see if somehow it fell down in there, and bro, we pull out this Slinky that had disappeared like a year prior. And the Slinky, like, dog, we've put our hands down in that recliner hundreds of times since that event, like, or maybe not, I'll say 50 times, whatever. They've been down there in there a ton of times looking for, like, getting stuff out. And the way the recliner, it's like, oh, the stuff just falls through. It's not like it just, like, pulls in there, but sometimes it can get kind of caught. But so it was, like, really insane. Somehow that Slinky makes it, like, somehow found its way in there. We pull it out and him and I are like, wait, what? And then we look down to like my left and the inhaler that we were looking for is like right there, like beside me on the ground, like, but like far away from the recliner. Like it couldn't have fallen out of the recliner during that. It was crazy. I can't explain it. And then, one last thing we were doing a couple days later, we're doing his treatment. It's like a air compressor hooked up to this little vest or whatever. And we're playing a video game. We're getting ready to start. And there's like a plastic bag we had with some of his equipment sitting over on the one couch. And like out of nowhere, like I didn't see it. I only heard it. But it was like the bag moved. And my son's like, Dad, did you see that? I'm like, what? No, I heard it. He's like, yeah, dude, the bag just moved. And I'm like going through in my head. Yeah. Are there any drafts in the house? All this stuff like that. We've done treatment, this particular physical therapy treatment, yeah, twice a day, like, yeah, probably 700 times, right? There's no, like, that plastic bag sitting over on that couch has never moved all those times. There's no, there's nothing, like, air drafts moving. So it was super crazy, bro, that, yeah, I had some kind of unexplainable experiences after stating it was fine that the Ponte could show up. If the Ponte are out there, man, and they're just teasing us and playing tricks on us, yo, Ponte, help Dad become the best filmmaker in the world, right? And we said that and we moved on. And dog, I'll be damned if we didn't get 2-3 docs picked up for distribution since then, you know? And my filmmaking career has gone up. So who's to say? If the Ponte are having some, nudges on my life and affecting the direction and the journey, I would be open to it. And I just try and keep, positive vibes, man.
And with Sue Walker, she's become quite the artist, hasn't she? But she's saying that she got help from them with that.
Yeah. I mean, she's had an extraterrestrial art teacher that has been teaching her these drawings and paintings. And man, dude, I don't know. If you look at the stuff she is drawing, and she like, I think, I forget exactly, but she hasn't, you know, it's not like she's drawn all her life, right? Like she had these experiences where she's getting these thoughts or these audible words, this telepathic communication with these extraterrestrials. And I'll be damned, she's saying that they're teaching her art, and I'll be damned if her art isn't getting better and better, right? So like, who am I to say, you know, that that's not who is teaching her these artistic skills? And who's like, it's, here's what's up. Like a lot of the stuff in this film, man, whether it's the narration, whether it's the people that we interviewed, the way Chris cut it, like a lot of this stuff just felt like inspiration, like especially the narration. Like I know a lot of times it's easy for me to hear a narrator in a movie or read some novel that's written very well, or read some great news article and think like, oh, like that's what those people do. They're authors. I can't write anything good. I'm not an author. I'm not. And it's like, oh, dude, like we're all capable of this stuff. Those people are human, just like you and me. And so where do I find this inspiration to write these words in this documentary? Like, dude, I really can't explain it. They just came to me. And a lot of the narration in The Ghost of Gettysburg and Secrets of the Sasquatch, like same deal. I haven't like sat down at my computer and said, okay, I've got to write narration. And because the other thing is, it's like Chris is editing the doc. I don't know what he's editing per se. Like he'll send me like cuts or rough cuts like as he's working on it sometimes. Right now, I even haven't seen Secrets of the Sasquatch yet. This is all him. And so like all this narration is just, yeah, I'm just driving down the road and it just comes to me. And then I log it and I send it to him. And yeah, I don't know.
And you have, is it Bill Nelson at NASA towards the end of the documentary? He had some really interesting stuff to say.
So Bill Nelson, we didn't interview him. That was a public interview that he gave, like, and same deal. Like we had the documentary cut. Chris had it cut. And like that Bill Nelson had just had that news media press conference. I don't know if it was like a week or two prior. However it was, I stumbled upon it. I'm like, yo, Chris, dude, we gotta use this. Like this is a NASA administrator. And if you've seen the full interview of him, it's fascinating that like I don't believe he was even like questioned about extraterrestrials or UFOs. Like he just went into it on his own, which was very fascinating, given the whole timing of all these other intelligence officers and what the UAPTF report and stuff like that was coming out or had come out a couple months prior. Yeah, it's just fascinating that these high level people are saying the things to just kind of get people to open their mind to the possibility. And that was a beautiful thing, man. It's like, it's the perfect ending to that doc, right? And it leaves you just on this, I don't know, kind of like a good note, man, to go out and investigate more and be open-minded to it. I know, dude, I was absolutely thrilled. We showed like an advanced screener to, you know, just a number of people to get their feedback. And yo, my dad, who does not like, I don't ever heard him talk about an alien before in his life, is not really interested in it and probably doesn't necessarily believe in aliens. dude, he watched it and he left coming up swinging. He's like, everybody needs to see this. This is insane. This is so great. He's like, I don't know. Maybe there is something out there. So just the fact that the film is able to like take people who aren't even interested in the subject matter and don't have a belief in the subject matter, that it can just open their minds and get them interested in it and open to the possibility. Like, man, it's a fascinating, fascinating thing. So, man, yeah, we've just loved, man, just loved this entire journey that we've been on.
Well, can you tell us your website address?
Yeah, man, absolutely. So we are at www.docsidemedia.com. And then we're most active on Facebook. So at facebook.com/docsidemedia. That's DOCSIDE media. And then we're also on Twitter at docsidemedia. And we've got a YouTube channel, but we need some help getting that subscriber count over to over 1,000. So that way we can give you like a legit YouTube, you know, link. Right now it's like all those numbers and letters and shit after it. So you guys got to do a little bit of legwork, but if you search Dockside Media and then select, you know, in your filter, sort by channels, and you'll see us there. And we've got a lot of great docs that we're coming out with here. And we're going to keep going, man. We're going to do some more haunted stuff, some more ghost stuff, some more UFO stuff, and just keep everybody interested, man, and having a good time.
And we've been talking about Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure. That's going to be out in a week or two, isn't it?
Yep, April 19th, Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Microsoft Movies, and Vimeo.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Simon, absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me on. Again, sorry Chris couldn't make it, but I feel like I'm going to have to link him up with you on a separate thing so you guys can get your hypnosis regression on, dude, because I feel like Chris, it would have just been a good connection, man, for sure.
And that was an interview with Tyler Transu about the documentary Conscious Contact. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFOpodcast. And if you join the $4.50 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. And if you join the $7.50 a month tier, you'll have access to an extended episode every week and the back catalogue of extended episodes. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, where you can find my other podcast. It's called The Past Lives Podcast. There are over 200 episodes, and it is where I look into evidence of the afterlife. And in my work as a clinical hypnotherapist, I take people through past life regressions. And when you book a past life regression hypnosis session with me, and you have signed up to Patreon, you get a 25% discount. And I'm offering a free consultation call which can be booked on my website. My Instagram is Past Lives Podcast with an underscore between each word, and on Twitter I am at Simon G. Baun. And if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.